So good afternoon. My name is Shane Palmer, and I'm going to talk about sink tissue biomass allocation in three subspecies of Brassica rapa grown hydroponically in a greenhouse. So the Brassicaceae family is extremely diverse. There are over 300 genera and over 3,000 species with a worldwide distribution. And this includes many species and cultivars of agronomic importance, as well as a variety of industrial uses, and some model organisms, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, like Arabidopsis, that is useful for genetics research. So it also includes a number of weedy species as well that are important. So within this family, I wanted to look at a particular species, which is Brassica rapa, which the turnip belongs to. So there are actually 8 different subspecies, and 3 subspecies of interest for my project were subspecies rapa, which is the turnip, subspecies nipocinica, which is mizuna, and subspecies chinensis, which is pak choi. So this particular species is primarily an old world species with a center of origin or center of diversity in East Asia. And through trade routes, it's spread to other parts of the old world, Europe, and other parts of the new world as well. And the turnip has been pretty well studied under a variety of different conditions and the way that it accumulates biomass and all of that. However, to my knowledge, there have been no comparative studies of biomass allocation among other Brassica rapa subspecies, especially the 3 subspecies that I've chosen. So the morphological variation that's obvious within this species indicates that there's probably some physiological differences in resource partitioning. And this may be especially pronounced during different developmental stages. So the objective of my experiment was to compare the growth and tissue biomass allocation between these 3 subspecies while they were grown under natural light in a greenhouse. So I wanted to select cultivars that were early maturing and matured about at the same size, and they had a small size that was suitable for growing in a space-limited environment. And I chose these particular 3 subspecies because they had vastly different sink morphologies. Like I mentioned, the turnip is grown primarily for its root. The pak choi has enlarged petioles, and mizuna has an abundance of leaves. So I used the Hakurai variety turnip hybrid seed, which it produces relatively small, smooth white tubers, and the ideal days to harvest under perfect conditions are 38. Next, I chose mizuna. Like I mentioned before, this is a leafy green. It has long, thin petioles with deeply serrated leaves. And something that I noticed from previous work with mizuna that I haven't seen anyone else mention is that under the right conditions, it will produce a tuber-like swelling of its hypocotyl root. And I know that it can be used as a cut-and-come-again crop, and potentially this root may be acting as an energy storage, which might be helpful for it under those circumstances. But if you're a commercial producer and you're doing single harvest, perhaps this could be a waste of resources where the plant might be better using it to put out even more leaves. So it does raise the question of maybe there are ways that we can reduce tuberization. I did not answer that question in this study, but I will mention it later when I discuss future studies. And lastly, I chose the Asian Delight hybrid seed of pak choi. And this is a mini-heading variety, and it's smaller than its related subspecies, which is subspecies picanensis, commonly known as Chinese cabbage. But I chose it because it was smaller. So I sowed seeds in 4-inch pots using arcillite media called turfis. And once the seedling sprouted, I thinned it to one plant per pot. These pots were fertigated using an ebb and flow hydroponic system with CalMag 15-5-15 fertilizer. And as I mentioned before, they were grown in a greenhouse under natural light conditions between November and December of 2018. So the light levels were somewhat low during this time period, which caused the plants to need a longer period of time to grow. And with an average of between 22 and 18 degrees day-night cycle. So the way that I designed this, there were 5 replicates. Each experimental unit consisted of two 15-pot trays, so there were a total of 30 plants of each subspecies that consisted of an experimental unit. And I grew all three subspecies on the same ebb and flow bench, and I randomly arranged the position of these pairs of trays, such as is seen in the picture. And this is just an example of how this was set up in the greenhouse. So in the front, you've got the ebb and flow trays, and there are five different ebb and flow trays representing those five replicates. Chlorophyll content index was measured weekly on leaves of the plants, and I performed five sequential harvests starting 26 days after planting. Like I mentioned before, their growth rate was a bit lower because of the low light levels during the winter. And for each harvest, six plants were taken per replicate of each subspecies. So between all five replicates, there were 30 plants from each subspecies that were collected during each harvest. And harvests were spaced out 1 week apart. And each set of six plants were pulled into a single sample. And I analyzed my data using mixed model repeated measures with an alpha of 0.05. And during these harvests, we measured both the fresh and dry mass of the leaf petiole and the hypocotyl and root tissues, as well as the overall total fresh and dry mass. So for the results, this is just another image of the plants when they're a bit older, just seeing that you can really obviously see the morphological differences between these plants, despite the fact that they're supposed to be so closely genetically related. On the far left, you have pak choi. In the middle, you have Mizuna. And on the far right, you have turnips that had not quite started creating their tubers yet. So for chlorophyll content index, initially it started to increase for the first few weeks that we were taking these measurements. However, toward the end of our growing period, the content index started to level off. So there was a significant difference between the three subspecies in this. And as expected, there was a significant increase in chlorophyll or significant change over time, just because the plants are growing. And this is the total biomass. So the Mizuna had the greatest total biomass throughout the entire growing period, and it maintained this edge over the other two subspecies. There was a significant difference between all three subspecies, and the difference increased over time. So as these plants were growing, they started out fairly similar to one another, and then these differences grew greater and they diverged over time and developed their unique morphologies. So turnip was had the second highest biomass, and pak choi had the lowest biomass. And we suspect that probably the reason for why the Mizuna outgrew everything else was because it had the most leaves and therefore the most leaf area compared to the other two subspecies. And we did take leaf area measurements, although that data isn't displayed in this presentation. So here we have the relative biomass of those three different sink tissues. We're looking at the turnip right now. So initially, the leaf tissue comprised the greatest amount of biomass from the turnips. But over time, this relationship changed. So while initially the root had the smallest fraction of biomass, it changed over time, it increased, and eventually became comprised the most biomass. And this makes sense given that turnips develop those large tubers. And necessarily, the relative biomass of both the leaf and the petioles also decreased. We can then compare this to Mizuna. So similar to turnip, the initial relationship between the three sink tissues was similar. So you have leaves with the highest relative biomass and the roots with the lowest relative biomass. But then things change, or at least change different compared to the turnip. So the Mizuna root never really got off the ground. It didn't develop a significantly greater biomass over time, greater percentage of biomass. The petioles did increase over time, which caused the relative amount of leaf biomass to decrease. But even by the end of the final harvest, the overall relative relationship was pretty similar, where the leaves still maintain the highest biomass. Pak choy, again, starts out similar to Mizuna, but the petioles do increase over time, and unlike Mizuna, those petioles do eventually match and slightly overtake the relative biomass of the leaves. And again, when you look at the morphology of these plants, pak choy has those large swollen petioles. So it's not just water weight, it's also biomass that it's accumulating in that sink tissue. And all of the differences between the tissues, differences over time, and the interaction between these two variables were all significant. So in conclusion, when we compared these three subspecies and the tissues, we saw that there was significant change both within and between the subspecies in their biomass allocation. And generally, these patterns of allocation are changing and diverging over time, which does represent these distinct developmental and morphological changes that we've observed. So for future study, the next study that I will be doing using these same three subspecies will be in a growth chamber. And I want to look at environmental manipulation to see if we could perhaps alter the sink strength of our target tissues, and in the hope that we might be able to maximize the harvest index in crops like this. In addition, some of the tissue samples that we're taking during this study will be analyzed for their carbohydrate content, and we'll be looking at the glucose, sucrose, fructose, and starch content to see specifically what photosynthates are actually being allocated to these different sink tissues. And with that, I would like to thank the sponsors for my research, and I have 3 minutes for questions. We have the data because we do have the total biomass from the different tissues, although it's not displayed here. So in the graphs we have the relative proportion of biomass, but I don't have the graphs up for the total biomass of those individual tissues. But
which one grows the best work?
So if we go back up and we look at the total biomass, so the root, you can kind of infer from this graph, the roots in the Mizuna and the Pak Choy were pretty unsubstantial. So the vast majority of the total biomass that you see here are comprised of the above ground parts. So with both Mizuna and Pak Choy, you have the petioles and the leaves together, which represent that harvestable target tissues, both of them together. And in the Mizuna, it has the most biomass of anything here. So even with the turnip, with the big tuber that the turnip forms, its total biomass, even including its leaves, which aren't as much, is still less than the total amount of just basically mostly the leaves for the Mizuna. So if you're looking at just total performance, even based on target tissues, I would say that this graph is still pretty representative. One more minute.
When you were sub-sampling, did you rearrange the plants, or were there gaps and that may change the life environment of those left behind?
So the question was, when after we took plants out to subsample, did we rearrange the positioning, or could it have left exposure gaps? So when I sampled, I did rearrange to attempt to even out the exposure of the remaining plants so that the remaining plants would get, as best as I could, light exposure for the remainder of the time period. And I've only got 15 seconds left. I don't think I can take any more questions.